You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
Praise God. How's everybody doing? All right. Let's see if we can make it even better than that. We're going to share in the Lord's Supper again today. And we want to continue to grab hold of everything. Everything that's there, everything available to us through the cross. We've been looking at how, and as I exhorted again this morning, there were certain things that Jesus took on himself on the cross. So if Jesus embodied it on the cross and then he put that body to death, it means it doesn't belong anywhere in the new incarnation of Jesus, which is his body and his people. So he carried our sorrows, he carried our weaknesses, he carried our sicknesses, he carried our sins and our iniquities, which is that desire for sin. He carried all the things that anybody's ever done to us and all the things that we have ever done. He carried them on himself, drank that cup that he talked about with the Father in the garden all the way down to the bottom. And here's a beautiful thing, because on the cross, Jesus could look death in the face. How many of you know the scripture says the wages of sin is death, which means the paycheck for living a life given over to sin is death, and eternal death is what that means. That's the wages of sin. So Jesus could look death square in the face and say, guess what, pal? I never worked for you. I never once served you. I never once bowed to you. I never did a thing that you told me to do, sin. So I don't have death. You have no hold on me. Because I never worked for sin a day in my life. So Jesus was the only one who could actually say that. But when he looked death in the face and he said, I don't deserve you. When he gave up his life, he put death itself to death. Isn't that good news? So here's what celebrating in the Lord's body and blood is all about. Is that we are crucified with Christ. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. So even this life that we live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So that's what communion is all about. I'm going to read a scripture and unravel something that I know this passage scares people, and I hope to unscare you today. 1 Corinthians 11 about the Lord's Supper. How many of you were taught at some point, don't ever take communion if you have any unrepented sin in your life or if you still have issues in your life because you're going to drink judgment on yourself? How many of you were ever taught that? And that's a lot of yous. A lot of people. We're going to put that one to rest today. Would you like that? Because I just quoted the scripture to you, but I want to put it back in its context and what it really means. Because the people who are concerned about, hey, my sin might separate me from God, have nothing to fear when it comes to God. I think I've shared this story before, so I was about to say stop me if I told you this before, but it's too late. I'm going to tell you anyway. It was a girl at Christ Community Church who came to Christ out of a lifestyle of like prostitution, drug addiction, witchcraft. I mean, like literal sorcery, pagan witchcraft. And she came to Christ and radically saved. She was covered like head to toe in tattoos. Some of them were really mean swear words written on her body. It was an intense situation. But she got, you know the difference between getting saved and getting good and saved? Do you know what I mean if I say that? Like there's some people that get saved, they come to church and they kind of live this milquetoast, lukewarm Christian lifestyle, like churchianity, I would call that. But this girl, she got saved, and she couldn't shut up about it. She went out and told all of her friends, all of her former prostitution buddies and everybody about Jesus. She was on fire for the Lord. And then, and I was discipling her, I was walking with her, and then she just disappeared. She stopped returning everybody's phone calls, and she like disappeared off the map. Months went by, and I was preaching one Sunday. I don't even remember what I was preaching. But at the end, at the altar call, here she comes walking down the center aisle. And mascara streaked all the way down her face, and God had met her again. She came back to the house of the Lord. She came, and I went right for her. I don't care about the altar team. She's mine. I finally saw her again. I went over, and I started ministering to her. And she said, I don't think I was ever actually even born again. Because I fell right back into sin. I started doing things that I swore I'd never do. I let the Lord down, and I can't believe, I don't think it was real. So I need to get born again all over again. So hold on one second. Let me ask you something. Before you came to Christ, when you sinned, did you feel like this about it? I said, no. So like when you were getting drunk and, you know, all this kind of stuff, Did you ever feel remorse afterwards? No, I felt ashamed of myself maybe, but not like guilty. I didn't feel bad about doing it. I felt like it was okay. And so isn't there something a little bit different about you right now? You sinned, but now something in you is revulsed by it. There's something alive on the inside of you right now that says, I don't like this. I don't want this life. I don't want to repeat this sin. That's the life of the Holy Spirit in you. That is Christ in you. That is the law of God written on your heart. There is no greater evidence that you're born again than that your heart hates sin now. You with me? You guys know what I'm talking about? So right there, shame off of you. Shame off of you in Jesus' name. You've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Welcome to the human race. If in your heart right now, your heart is facing toward the Lord, then this table is for you. This blood is for you. This bread is for you. Celebrating around the Lord's table is not for those who are already worthy of sitting at that table. It's for people who already know, I'm not worthy to sit at this table. But the blood of Jesus and the offer of salvation, the offer of sonship, I've received and said, yes, Lord, I'll take that. I'll take that any day of the week. So here's what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 11, starting in 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread. Let me just stop there and share one more thing that's in this cup of which we partake. At the table at the Last Supper was a betrayer. And Jesus shared with Judas, the betrayer, his body, and then he shared again his blood. Judas was there when the first covenant meal happened, and he partook of that covenant meal. Then he went out and betrayed Jesus. So he was there for it. Jesus already knew full well what Judas was up to. As soon as he shared it, in Luke's gospel it says, as soon as he even shared what his blood was all about, he said right away, behold, the hand of my betrayer is at the table. After they shared in covenant with one another, that's when Jesus said, now it's time to reveal the betrayer, because I've given him every chance. I've given him every opportunity to enter into covenant love relationship with me. And still his heart is so hard that he's still going to leave this supper, this covenant meal. He's going to walk away from this place, turn on me, and hand me over to those who would crucify me. How hard your heart has to get to be able to share at the table of the Lord and harden your heart still against him, to mock him, to turn your heart against him. That's a hard heart. Judas had absolutely no remorse about what he did. But how many of you know everybody else around the table, when Jesus said the betrayer's at the table, they all said, is it me? Is it me? Can you imagine that? They were sitting around the table of the Lord, and all of them, when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, he says, all of them wondered, is it me? Is it I? Who is it? None of them knew who it was. And they all thought, it might be me. The humble heart, the heart that's been broken before the Lord, the heart that shows that it's the meek that shall inherit the earth, the poor in spirit, whose is the kingdom of heaven, that heart says, I know what I'm capable of. I know the darkness of my own heart, that if I don't humble myself and receive this free gift that's been given, I know how dark it gets inside of there, and I know how dark I can make it out there as a result. So all the others demonstrated at the Last Supper already their hearts by being concerned about, could I possibly? Jesus is never wrong. And he's, if he says, man, I might betray him, how do I stop that from happening? How can I prevent myself from tripping up and falling away like that? The heart that's concerned about sin belongs around the table of the Lord. When he gave thanks, he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me, as we looked at last week. This is not just some symbolic act to remember the cross. Jesus said, this is my body. The disciples would have remembered when Jesus preached his famous chase away the crowds message, my flesh is food indeed. Unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in yourselves. The disciples would have known, oh, that's what he meant. This is it right here. Around this table, we're partaking of his body. It's not just a symbol. There's spirit life to be found in this meal that we share. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So there is a remembering, there is a calling to the mind and a declaration of all of what Jesus did on that cross, everything that he carried, all of our junk that he took on himself. There's a proclaiming of that. Thank God. This is the reason why the song of the angels in heaven is, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." This is why the throng of people waving palm branches, which represents us, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." He is worthy because he took all of that on himself. That's what makes him worthy, and that's why we, though we're unworthy on our own, who have been invited to the table, can partake in safety. We can come to the place of a holy God and not be afraid. Not be afraid of judgment, not be afraid that he's going to take us out to the woodshed or any such thing. We can come before the table of the Lord and say, "Jesus is worthy. I acknowledge that. That's why I can take of this. For as often as you eat, therefore whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he's to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge or discern the body correctly. For this reason many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you even sleep. But if we would judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged." So can you go back to verse 27? Let's break this down. What does this mean? Does this mean that before we partake, we've got to make sure we are 100% right in every way with God, that we don't have any reconciliation to go on with anybody, that we're totally at peace in all of our relationships, totally without sin in our being? If we believe that, then we've missed the entire point. The entire point of sharing in the Lord's body, when he said, "This is my body," he said, "You are not going to be able to do this life on your own." So even if you're broken because of your sin, even if life has its way with you and punishes you because of what you've done, nobody can handle being broken. So take a portion of my broken body and let it sustain you so that you can do it. Do you understand? If we come to the table of the Lord judging, failing to judge his body, failing to discern his body, as failing to acknowledge, "I need this. I need this to have life and that more abundantly. I need to abide in the vine," as Jesus put it another way. "Apart from you, I can do nothing." It's a confession that says, "I need this to sustain my spirit. I need this for my life. Jesus, unless you're alive in me, I'll reduce you to a set of doctrines and principles and laws and rules. Do this and don't do that." But rather than that, we come to the Lord's table and say, "When I partake of that body, I'm taking and living from the strength of somebody else. I'm living from a supernatural being. My life is hid with God in Christ. I am sustained by supernatural power that lives in me." That's the statement made in being a willing partaker of his body. Is saying, "Jesus, I feed on you. I don't have life unless I have you." Amen? So, to partake of this with a double mind, or partake of this with a hypocritical spirit, would mean, I'm going to partake of this. This is a cynical way of doing it. I'm going to partake of this because if I take this and I'll be forgiven, and tomorrow I can go out and sin again. And all I got to do is come back to church on Sunday and take this again, and I'll be forgiven again. It's what I read earlier out of Romans 6. "Let's therefore sin so that grace could abound." So that's what Paul was getting at. Some of you are having problems right now. Some of you are having issues because you're trampling the Son of God underfoot and treating as a normal, everyday thing the very blood, body and blood of Jesus. So when we partake of this, the cynical evil heart would say, "Well, I don't care. I'll just keep on in my sin. I'll keep shaking my fist at God and live my own way and pretend around all the saints that I'm just like them, another partaker of Christ himself." That's what this passage means. I don't know anybody personally who does that. I've sat in, with many of you even, and had those tears of repentance, the struggles with bondages and strongholds, the issues that just cause such angst and anxiety in our heart because we don't want to let the Lord down. We don't want to live like we used to, but there's still this bondage, there's still this struggle. That's what this is for. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the proud heart that says, "Yeah, I'll partake of that, but I don't really need it. I don't need the life of God in me. My way is good enough. The proud spirit says, I don't need. The proud spirit says, basically, the cross was a dumb thing for Jesus to do. He was a madman. There was no point in the cross because I can make my own salvation. I can just obey the Bible, or I can obey the parts of the Bible I agree with, or I could obey none of the Bible because it's just man's words, not ours. That the proud heart that says, I'll make my own way into paradise, thank you very much. That's what this passage is talking about. And by the way, just for those of you not in the New Testament survey class, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, it's an awesome group of people, man. Some great stuff coming out in there. But the Corinthian church was celebrating the Lord's Supper, and some people were getting drunk. Some people were not even sharing their food with hungry people sitting right next to them. They had a chaotic mess. I think sometimes, I might preach a message sometime, stop being so hard on yourselves. I think sometimes we think that because I had a bad thought today, I just sinned against God and I'm not even sure I'm saved. If you grew up and you raised your hand believing that you shouldn't eat the Lord's Supper, if you got any sin left in your life, then you may have grown up under this mindset that if I in any way disappoint God or disappoint the religious belief I have about God, then I'm not worthy. I don't belong in the body of Christ. I'm getting into all this kind of garbage like that. But the Lord says, no, come to the table. I desire to sup with you. Jesus even said to his disciples, I have been waiting a long time to get to this place. He'd been with them for 3.5 years. They'd done the stuff. They went out, healed the lame, healed lepers. They preached good news, opened blind eyes. They'd seen Jesus calm a storm. They'd seen Jesus raise the dead. They'd done some of those things themselves. But Jesus said, this is the moment I've been waiting for. Not the cross, this. And when you partake of my life, when you learn how it's going to be, when I'm taken back to the Father, this is going to sustain you. This meal, this food that we partake of right now, this spiritual food, this is how you're going to do it, guys. This is how you're going to have life and that more abundantly. The benefits of the cross are right there for everyone who desires to partake. So I'm going to encourage you as we take this today. Could you go to the last slide about all the benefits of the cross? As we partake of this today, I'm going to encourage you to take it either alone with the Lord, and today make it maybe for the first time. Maybe you've never considered the power that's available to us through the body and blood of the Lord. This new covenant cup that we partake of, this body which brings us strength. Today, partake of it in a way that says, God, I need you, and here's what I need you today, Jesus. This is what I need for you to do today. Maybe you're here today and you do have a struggle. You've got an ongoing struggle with, it could be a sin of the flesh. I don't need to name those. It could be a sin of unforgiveness. That one Jesus really got on the most. You want to be forgiven, but you don't want to extend forgiveness? Oh, hold on. Maybe you've been struggling to forgive somebody. Maybe there's been deep, deep hurt that's genuine, but Jesus says, I told you you wouldn't be able to do it on your own. That's why you're still holding on to this thing all these years. So why don't you come to me and let me carry that for you? Why don't we nail it on that cross together today? Put it on my body and then partake of my strength so that you could walk in love and walk in forgiveness the way that I can do it, not the way you could do it without me. Maybe today you're feeling like I need somebody to pray for me because I'm stuck. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, I've never actually given my heart to the Lord. I don't even know what you're talking about today. This whole thing, having communion with Him, having fellowship with God, what is that all about? If you need somebody to pray with you for any reason at all, how we're going to do this today, and we're going to administrate it this way for the next few weeks, the elements are on the table in the back. If you would like somebody to pray with you or minister to you for any reason at all, to help you grab hold of the things I'm about to read off to you, just have a seat at one of those tables off there on the side, and one of the leaders of the church will come over and join you. So anybody in leadership, you just be ready to do that. Go ahead and sit at that table and wait. Share your need with your communion elements, and then partake together in the presence of the Lord. Watch how His life begins to fill you as you feed on Him by faith. You may need some alone time with the Lord. You may need some time together with a friend or somebody. Maybe you got some siblings. I'm just feeling this thing about sibling stuff going on. Brothers and sisters that are set against each other, that have had issues with one another. If you're here with your family, great. You can do it all together. But make this a table of reconciliation. Maybe for husbands and wives too. Make it a table of reconciliation. Acknowledging that the strength of our love is not to be found inside of us. It's to be found inside our fellowship around Christ. Right, like how it says in Ecclesiastes, a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. Maybe today, as a couple, gather around the Lord and say, we need you woven in as that third strand, because we've been finding that we've gotten frayed. Maybe we're to the end of our rope, and we need you to weave us back together, Jesus. Be that third strand. That's all I'm hearing right now for specifics. However it is, feed on him together. The benefits of the cross are ours to partake of. And by the way, just in case you're new to here, you don't have to wait till we're all gathered here in church. Jesus said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst. So you can gather, and I don't know if this is cheating or not, but you could say, okay, Jesus, I'm here today with the Father and the Holy Ghost. So we're going to have, that's two or three. So just me and you right now. I know that that's theologically okay to do. I just can't give you a chapter and verse. But sharing it, partake of Christ in the privacy of your home and making an act of worship together. Don't wait till we're here to do this. But here's what was on the cross. This is just a short list. We could go on and on. But there is forgiveness available at the cross, of course. That's what it was really all about. He bore our iniquities and he nailed them to that cross. There's grace and strength for life, as I've been exhorting you right now. Jesus didn't just say, okay, guys, I paid the price, now go get them. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Feed on my life and make that the way that you go about living this life. Maybe you've gotten so wrecked sometimes by your own mistakes that you're not even confident that if you would die today, you have eternal life in Christ. It could be, most of the time, it's because of some really messed up dead religious preaching that says basically like some old Catholic thing, like if you die and you forgot to repent of something, that's it. 100 years in purgatory for you. Just garbage nowhere in the Bible. But if your confidence, like closing our eyes at the moment of death ought to come with this joyful expectation of, man, when I open them next, I'm going to see Jesus face to face and how I long for that day. There ought to be a longing to see the face of Jesus inside of us. And if there's anything in you that feels like, I'm not sure I'm longing for that. Maybe it's because you're still afraid that he's going to judge you or something like that. I don't know. But there's this thing that God wants us to live with where we're longing to see his face. We're excited about that thought. If flashbang, this was the last moment and Jesus split the eastern sky and returned right now, man, there ought to be an excitement like a bride on her wedding day. That's what we ought to feel. If you're lacking in that, partake today. That's a benefit of the cross. To have a spirit inside that says, Abba, Daddy, I know whose I am. There's healing in the cross. All of Isaiah 53, all those things that he bore, every single one of them has to do with healing in our body, healing in our soul, healing in our heart, even healing in our mind. We got the resurrection of the spirit, but he cares about every part of our being that he created right on out to our physical body. So if you have any issue, you need healing in any way, take your communion alone with the Lord or sit at a table and let somebody pray for you and join together, grab and hold of, apprehending is the biblical word, apprehending what was put on that cross for our sake. And if nothing else, we're partakers of the divine nature. When we feed on Christ, we are, you know, the old proverb, you are what you eat. Think about that when you partake of Christ. I am what I eat. We are what we eat. We're not just second-class citizens of heaven. We're partakers of the divine nature. Amen? Okay. I'm going to close out as far as being up front goes, so you don't have to wait for a cue from anybody here. In a few minutes, I believe we'll need to get our kids, but first take some time with the Lord in communion. Again, if you want somebody to minister to you, gather around one of those tables over there and wait. The leaders will pay attention and they'll come and meet you at one of the tables and pray with you. Want some time alone with the Lord? Come on up and grab a seat. You can come up here to the altar in the front. I'm just going to ask you that when you're finished, be respectful of those that aren't and have your fellowship out in the hallway or in the cafe. So if you start getting a fellowship and talking with one another, please take it outside so you can have as much time as you want with the Lord. Amen? All right. I love you guys. Let's partake of the Lord together now.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.